I was dragging a little bit this morning, and I said, "Oh Lord, I need your grace." And He gave it to me, and I noticed some of our teams were dragging in here this morning, but we had a good week. We really, really did. God met with us each night. I know I hadn't had any teams approach me personally about giving a testimony, but that's all right. You know, sometimes I know that it's just not the right timing. But I do know that each night, Brother Mike shared with me. I wasn't always there in the invitation. We had prayer time as well, and folks down there in the prayer room. But even during some of that time. Even during some of that time when I wasn't there, Mike told me that the response to the preaching was excellent. And I just appreciate our teenagers, and I appreciate the fact that they were listening so well and engaged. Brother Mike said, without a shadow of a doubt, every message, they were just locked in. And he says that he rarely sees that type of attention to the Word of God. And not only that, as he was preaching and they were listening so well during the invitation time, Brother Mike, he sometimes would ask the teens if they wanted to come forward, if they wanted to leave or whatever. But he also just said, by an indication of God speaking to your heart specifically about this subject that he was preaching on, every night, overwhelmingly, the majority would raise their hands in response to God has spoken to me, and just as an indication that the Lord is working in my heart. So for that, we give God praise. And we thank Him for that. And perhaps in the days to come, we'll have more testimony opportunity and to just hear what God was doing. I was personally encouraged and strengthened by the messages. I talked to several adults that after the service, wow, the Lord met with me. God spoke to me about that. I needed that message, and I say that as well. Thank God for His ministry. We will hope to have Him back, and we'll be praying about that when the Lord will allow us to have Brother Fisher back. The next time He comes back, though, we will have Him in the public schools. I had a phenomenal conversation with the Jefferson High School principal just a few days ago. Extremely nice man, born-again man, loves the Lord Jesus, was testifying of Christ even on the phone with me. But he just 2 days before talking to him, he had gotten a call, and he was offered a promotion to be a superintendent, school superintendent in a district down in southern Georgia. And he said that he believes the Lord was in this and God was leading him and his family. But he said, "I want to tell you, I'll pray." He says, "I'm hoping that God will move one of my assistants in." But he said, "Just come up and we'll be able to help you, and we'll try to help you any way we can." And so that was an indication to me that the Lord is going to open some doors for us to get into the public schools. And if Brother Mike can come and be there each day. And that's what he did. He would just give character talks. And then at the end, he would invite the teens out to the services. And so hopefully we'll be having him back in 2018, perhaps 2018, maybe 2019. We'll just see how God leads in that. But please continue to be in prayer for that. And thank you, thank you, thank you for all that prayed and all that participated. And especially teenage parents, just let me talk to you just for a few seconds. Thank you for encouraging your teenagers to be here. We had excellent attendance. I was so encouraged. Majority of our youth group was here every single night, folks. And I want to tell you what, you're talking about encouragement. This pastor, I was loving that. And just so thankful just to see that you were concerned, too, about that. And I know the teens wanted to be here for the most part as well, and I'm thankful for that as well. But I just want to say thank you for your help and coming in and helping with snacks, helping with cleanup, helping with all these different things. And yes, even helping with the games. That Wednesday night, did y'all see Brother Derek and Brother Jeff and Josh Seymour out there playing big ball basketball? Oh, my. I believe they thought they were back in their heyday again. You feeling it? You still feeling it, Brother Jeff? Where is he? Okay, he's back there napping. Was it good, brother? Amen. He was ready to go. And by the way, I told the teams this morning, Brother Mike, he said, "Listen, Brother Brinson," he said, I want to give y'all that big ball." So he gave us the big ball. So we got a big ball now that we can play with. And so now I'm going to get the next activity. We're going to have a Young at Heart activity, and we're going to play big ball basketball, okay? That's what we're going to do. And yes, we will. As Brother Mike says often, we will get that on YouTube, okay? And we will get lots of hits, I'm sure. But anyway, we'll look forward to that. And also just wanted to mention and just thank the church. We did go ahead and purchase a ping pong table. It's not, you may think, well, that's nothing, but it is very significant. Our teenagers are already enjoying it, and seeing adults enjoy it too. It is for the whole church, but I did get it specifically also for the teenagers to have it during activities and sometimes after the services for fellowship. And I happen to like ping pong too, so that works out well. And so we will enjoy that, but you help yourself to that. I will say this too, just publicly. I will ask that meet with the teenagers. Not this time, not after the service, but soon, maybe Wednesday night I'll meet with you. But we got to decide on a system for bringing out the ping pong table, because I need to give specific instructions, because it's a little tricky. We've already had some complications, nothing major. It's not broken, but because the way that it pulls down, because it can fold up and stow away easily. Bringing it down is a little tricky. It's not difficult, but it's just a little tricky. And I want to make sure everybody knows, because we don't want to break it. We want to keep it as long as we can and be good stewards of what the Lord gives us. So, but anyway, anybody want to challenge me to a game of ping pong? I would love that, all right? So y'all let me know, anybody that would like to do that. And I want to tell you too, my wife, she taught me everything I know about ping pong. She is really good. I used to get so upset. It was a humbling thing the Lord used in my life to break my pride. When we started talking in Bible college and dating, we would play ping pong, and she would beat me. I would get so mad. I'd have to get right in chapel and all that stuff. But it was good. And now I pretty much get her every time, and I say, honey, just to make her feel better, you taught me everything I know. So she's a good sport. But anyway, we praise the Lord for opportunities to have fun in fellowship. Amen. And keeping that sweet balance with the help of the Lord. That's what we want to do. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, would you please turn with me to Psalm 22? Psalm 22 is where we'll be, and tonight, as we remember our Lord and His sacrifice and the crucifixion, we go to this psalm and reflect upon the fact that this is a messianic psalm, and in fact it's so unique and so specific, even more so than some of the Gospels, and that is simply amazing. And wonderful in itself, the very fact that the crucifixion here is prophesied at least 1,000 years before its actual fulfillment, and the beauty of that, and the confirmation of that, of the Word of God, and the accuracy of the Word of God, and how blessed that is. But with the Lord's help, I want us to look here at Psalm 22, and I will go ahead and read this chapter. You read along with me. And then following, I'll make a few comments, and then we will share in the Lord's Supper. Psalm 22:1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord, that He would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Now we're going to have a shift here in the psalm. The first 21 verses were a psalm of suffering, but now we're getting ready to go into a psalm of singing. Notice the transition. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised, nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. You see the difference there. The first 21 verses, it was said that he was not heard, but now he is heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great passage of Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for the description that it gives us, prophesying of the greatest act of love that's ever taken place. And that was your love shown on Calvary. Oh God, help us tonight as we reflect and remember what you did for us on that cross. Oh God, please help us to be purified by it, to be strengthened by it, and even encouraged by it, oh God. And we'll thank you for what you do even tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We see that in this chapter, there are 33 references in the New Testament that are from this chapter. 33, amazing, simply amazing. The first 21 verses, as I said, are known as the suffering Savior, the Psalm of Suffering. But then the verse 22 through verse 31 is the singing. And by the way, that's a reminder to us that the cross comes before the crown. And that's what we see here. This messianic psalm foretells of the sufferings of our Savior. It talks about His dying cry, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" that we see so clear in the Gospels. The mockers cry, he can't save himself. He can't save, let him trust in God. And the mockery that's there, we see that. We see the torture of the crucifixion. We see the distorted body. We see the parched lips. We see the divided garments. Can you not see over and over and over again the parallels to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? And then we say, well, look, preacher, interesting question here. Well, why don't we hear anything of the spear being thrust to his side? That's because the Savior had already died. And he is not speaking. A dead man cannot speak of himself. When we see here speaking, we see one speaking as one alive. But as John accounts in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 34, he had already given up the ghost. he had already given up the ghost and he had passed and then that's when the Spirit came, and we do not see of that. But how amazing this truly is to us tonight on what the Lord Jesus did for us. That's what He experienced for us. You know, tonight as we remember the crucifixion of our Savior, let us be reminded of His love. Let us be reminded of what He demonstrated so that we could be free from sin. You know, as we know in Corinthians, I'll read here in a minute, as we come before the Lord to remember this with the Lord's Supper, the ordinance that He gave in the New Testament, may we search our own hearts and make sure that we're pure before the Lord in the sense that we do not have any sin that we're harboring, that we're holding on to, but realize the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Hey, my question to myself and to all of us, why keep a sin harbored that can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus? You let Jesus cleanse that sin, and He will do just that, but there must be a confession from your own heart. And that's what we will do tonight, as we will examine ourselves. But what He endured for our sake is simply incomprehensible. That He would devote that sacred head, as the word, as the song said, for such a worm as I. Why don't you go over with me to 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As the men will prepare to come down and here in just a few moments, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, giving instruction on the Lord's Supper, says this in verse number 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner, also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me." Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." And you notice that word there in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread." Now, there are some that would prefer to do the Lord's Supper, communion, however you reference it, as every week. Some would do it every week. Some would do it once a month. Some would do it every 2 months. I don't believe we find in Scripture a specific command of how often we do it. But it's clear in Scripture that as often we do it, when we do it, we do it in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our church has traditionally done quarterly, or that fifth Sunday, and tonight that's what we are doing, and we will continue that unless the Lord directs otherwise. But it is a very special night that we can do this and reflect upon what Christ has done for us. If the men would go ahead and make their way forward, we will prepare to distribute the bread. And but we see that we will remember the Lord's death till He come. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we will distribute the bread. Before I begin, and that right there, let me just simply say this. If you're a guest here with us, you're not a member of Crooked Creek Baptist Church, I want to say that that's okay. You can participate with us. What we say, what I say as a pastor, is that you need to be born again, a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to have been baptized. And then you simply just need to be walking in obedience to the Lord Jesus. Does that mean perfection? No. But that does mean you're not purposely harboring sin that you know needs to be dealt with. That would be drinking the cup unworthily. So we just ask you to examine yourselves in this hour as we remember our Lord's death. I'll have prayer, and then we will proceed with the distribution of the bread. Let's pray. Father, Lord, would you help us during this time to be very sober-minded and to reflect upon what Christ has done for us, that it truly is finished, that the payment has been paid in full. There's nothing to owe. Oh God. And so, Lord, we just want to come and say thank you tonight as we remember what you did for us. I pray that you'll be honored. I pray you'll be glorified. I pray that we would, Holy Spirit, you would help us all to examine ourselves, that you would search us and know us and see if there be any wicked way. And Lord, if there is, help us to confess that, that we might be pure before you. And Lord, we love you and praise you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.